Hello.
Love Talk Radio.
Hello. Welcome to Spiritual Perceptions. I am your host, Janet Thornburg, and I'm trying to connect with Marcia, so I want everyone to be patient with us. We're having a little problem with the system here tonight. I'm trying to reach her, and Marcia, if you're listening, please call in. I can't seem to connect with you. So to begin with, let me tell you a little bit about myself. I am formerly an ordained minister through the Western Liberal Catholic Church.
Hello?
And hello, are you on?
Yes.
Okay, cool. I placed you in a screening room. I didn't mean to, but that's what happened.
Oh,
so
okay.
Marcia is with us, so back to what I was saying. I'm a formerly ordained minister through the Western Liberal Catholic Church and Seminary. I studied at Metaphysics at the SCORE Spiritual Center in Long Beach, California. Both are in Long Beach, California. And I pastored a metaphysical church, Chapel of the Angels, in Long Beach, California for over 20 years. I currently work for Keen.com as a spiritual advisor. And for approximately 10 years now, I've been with them. And you can find me under Daisy 644478. Our show is intended to help everyone on their spiritual journey. It's not about religion or denomination. We're not here to debate beliefs or philosophies. We don't want to engage in any arguments or debates on religious belief systems. We're basically here to... with our intentions being to give healing energy, prayer request, and help you connect to your spirit. A lot of people do not realize that they are a spirit, but if you want to read about that in Scripture, you can find that at 1 Corinthians 15, verses 39 to 45, and explains the soul, body, and the spirit. Spiritual Perceptions is about higher consciousness, intuition, and revelation. And today on our show, we are covering dreams. And my co-host, Marcia Webb, is skilled in helping others achieve their desires or dreams through the art of candle burning. And both of us stand on Romans 8:28 today and receive all that things are good to those who are in Christ Jesus that work together. My church burns candles as a perpetual flame for the return of Christ, and we also enter prayers daily for others to reach their dreams, their destiny, and their potential. There are 16 references to candle burning, and there's 1.5 pages of candles and candle burning in the Concordance, in Strong's Concordance, and part of the furnishings for the tabernacle before the Ark of the Covenant required the golden candlesticks. And all instructions are given in Exodus 27, 25, 26, 31, 33, Exodus 29, 41, 27, 9, 5, 12, 8, 28, and 23, and 25. And it's written in Scripture, the words of God, glorify me in the fire. Fire is very symbolic in the Bible, all throughout the Bible. So, Marcia, give us a little detail on some of your procedures with candles and the cause and effect of these practices. I'm very familiar with the scriptures stating that we can profit from the phases of the moon, and especially tonight on our blue moon. Go ahead, Marcia.
Well, actually, tonight's blue moon is in the unifying sign of Pisces, which means that we should all feel its romantic passion. Pisces is about passion with the full moon. You know, the full moon always brings out the animal in us.
Yes.
So that's just my little blurb on the full moon for tonight. So make sure you burn your white candles and throw all your wishes in there and send them out to the universe. Since our show's about dreams versus reality, a lot of times what keeps us from our dreams is the negativity that we carry around with us in reality. And in my candle burning, one of the things that I do that helps to remove that negativity, a black is normally associated with this, but your spirit is a pure spirit. So what I do is I will take a black permanent marker and take my white candle and color it black, signifying that the negativity is hanging on to me, but I'm a pure spirit. And then I'll burn that candle to help remove that negativity from myself.
Wow.
Because as the candle burns, the black melts away, which is what you want the negativity to melt away. And so many people are opposed to burning the black candle. Underneath this black negativity shield around you is the purity of the white. So a lot of times I will burn that as opposed to burning a black candle or something like that. Now, there are times you want to use black, but since we're talking about dreams versus reality, I think that may play in here a little better.
Yeah. I know the church burns black candles on Good Friday. It's the only time of the year that I know of that most places burn the black, but I know there are a lot of people that use it for various things, removing negativity. Seems that we have a caller on the line, so let's see who we got here. Looks like it's from an 814 area code. Hello?
That should be me.
Oh. Hey. All right, let's try this again. Excuse us, folks. We are learning this system. Says one caller. So did I click on the phone thing? Is that what I do, Marcia?
No.
No?
No, that's me on the phone.
Okay, so it's nobody else
that's
calling.
That's how I connected myself in.
So it's not anyone calling yet?
No.
Okay, thank you.
Now,
okay.
In candle burning, you use colors. No matter what I do, I always use a white candle. Because we always want to bring the purity of the universe, of God, however you and your world perceive that omnipotent being to be. I represent it as God, and I represent that with a white candle in everything I do. You can associate the different colors with different things, but in my working, what I like to do is to look at the person that I may be dealing with and what their issues might be, because the colors represent so many different things. A lot of people like to look at red as passion, but red can be anger.
Yeah,
so
it's planet Mars.
Right, so if you're looking into a situation, a romantic situation, you have to be careful that you don't use so much red in your candle work that you change that passion from love to anger.
That's
also
true.
Use,
very good point.
I also use some very special candles from time to time, depending on the situation. They're element candles. And they represent the four elements, earth, fire, wind, and water. And they also have a representation, since every sign of the zodiac is either earth, fire, wind, or water. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So also these element candles are also tied to the zodiac, so that depending on the situation, depending on the person, depending on what the desired result is, I may use one of those. It's when you're dealing with the colors burning candles, you kind of have to, everybody says you want to use this color for this and you want to use this color for that and you want to use this color for something else. To me, you need to follow a basic guideline, but in some cases, some people use green for healing and green is normally thought of as for money. So some people use yellow for healing. And some people think of, well, that's the sunshine, and that's not healing. But if you think about it, the sun is our healing. That's
exactly.
our life energy.
Nothing would exist without the sun.
Right. That's our life's energy.
Mm-hmm.
So it, it depends on the situation and the case before I actually pick a color or colors to use when I do my candle work. It's always done with the help of the person. If I'm actually working on an individual case, that person has to be actively involved in what I do, or it doesn't work. It's not my dream. It's not my desire. It's not the reality I want. It's what they want. And anybody can light a candle on fire and watch it burn, but if you don't want to actively participate in your dreams, then how bad could you really want them?
Exactly. And, you know, there's something very interesting. In our Lord's Prayer, it says, "Thy will be done." And in the Greek, that the word for that means dreams and wishes, that God's wishes for us be done. And there's numerous scriptures that says that God wants us to be, he calls us beloved. Beloved, I wish above all things that you may be in health and prosper. So God doesn't want us sick. Sickness doesn't come from him. But people oppose themselves when it comes to their dreams. You know, it depends upon their attitude, you know, the battles that rage within them. And as humans, we focus on the appearance of things, you know, the pain, the suffering. And the more we focus on that, the more we stay in it. Because in Proverbs chapter 27, it says that as a man, meaning mankind, as a person thinks within themselves, then that's what they become, and that's how they act. And that's sometimes we oppose ourselves. We give up on our dreams. But I've noticed the trend lately, even in the media ministries, they're all pushing dream fulfillment this year. And I really believe usually at the close of the year, I get a message from God about the coming year. And actually, Jesus said he wanted to dance with us this year. God wants us to celebrate life. Well, the first part of this year has been a lot of suffering for a lot of people. And I think that we need to get above that by working on ourselves, by renewing our minds, and not giving up on our dreams. And doing, you know, I currently have a white candle and a green candle burning. And I did that for the show tonight and for the blue moon tonight. And so God is fire, and fire is very symbolic in the Bible. And all the instructions that were given when they set up the Ark of the Covenant, and even in Revelations, it talks about the seven golden candlesticks upon the throne of God. So obviously, and Catholic Church burns candles. I think it's a way of glorifying God.
Oh, I believe that too. I believe that too. It's all his work, but he tells us we have to be part of it. That's why he gave us free will. And seeing your dreams come true, you visualize those dreams. And in visualizing those dreams, you know, you're supposed to try to come up with as much detail as you would like. Well, for a lot of people in a romantic situation, they look at it and they think that, okay, I'm going to visualize it, and okay, here's this man I want. Rather than thinking about the kind of man, they see a physical form that, or maybe someone that sits next to them at work. And that's what they put into this dream of theirs. So instead of just saying, this is the kind of home and this is the kind of relationship I want, they attach it to a person, and that messes everything up. Because that person also has free will. And they might not have the same dream that you do. And that happens a lot.
It does happen a lot. And you have to, you know, those are what you call your difficult ones.
Yeah.
A lot of complexity in here. We have one willing participant and one unwilling participant, you know. So, and we have to, that's where a lot of work comes in, involved, a lot of prayer, a lot of work. But, you know, expectation is the breeding ground for miracles. You know, a lot of people, they pray and ask for something, and then they walk out of their church service or their prayer service, and they start focusing on the natural, and they start talking about it not happening because, you know, words are very powerful. What we speak over ourselves, what we repeatedly think about, like Job said, what I greatly feared, what he gave a lot of energy to, happened to him because that's the way of things. And thoughts are energy, and they do mean something, and they do create things. So we have to realize that what we think, we need to take negative thinking, those thoughts captive, replace them with positive thinking, and it's vital to know this, that that's part of actually manifesting your dream. Like,
well,
the secret teaches, rather than say, well, my circumstances don't look like this is going to occur, it's better to say it would be nice if this would happen to me, or it would be nice if this would happen. Because when you say over yourself that it's not going to happen, you negate everything. You negate your work. You negate it all. So
yeah. I mean, those are taunting words.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that I like to tell people is when they come to me with a situation, they say, well, I prayed about it, and I'm like, and you're still out here being frantic about it. You put it in God's inbox, leave it alone. Don't worry about it. And when you start to worry,
mm-hmm.
That's when more prayer and more affirmations and more positive thinking and more positive visualization comes in and helps to turn all of those negative thoughts, that negative smut that you have all over that white candle and you burn it for the negativity, to get out of there, to get out of your head, because that's not your dream. Your dream is to materialize this whatever it is, not to push it away. So once you put it in God's inbox.
A dream in all of us. He has put a dream in all of us, and we need to activate that dream, and we need to, and how do we activate it? What? Because everything that you want is in your spirit. So we need to connect with our spirit. And the spirit won't listen to anything but the word. And so we activate the spirit, and then the spirit's job is to bring the soul in, and then the spirit and the soul together brings the body in, and all three becomes as one, you know, it becomes as we operate. And it's all done by faith. And no matter what it feels like, what it looks like, it's very important to have faith. You know, you can't always have faith in mankind. They fall short and
right.
fail you, but God will never fail you. And he's given you, it's already there. Everything you need, the money you want, the health you want, it's all in your spirit. And we have to connect with the spirit. And we do that by renewing our mind and by, you know, getting above things. And originally, before Adam and Eve partook of the tree of good and evil, they were perfect. They were perfect.
Right.
They were complete. And our spirit is perfect. When you're born again, your spirit is perfect. It's completely pure, like you said. It's perfect. And that's what God looks at. He looks at our spirit. So we want to connect with our spirit, because our connection with our spirit will connect with the Holy Spirit, and then you'll have an intimate relationship. God talks to everybody. He talks, you know, he's willing, he's there waiting for us to access this and to manifest our dreams. And we can manifest our dreams, but you can't manifest them if you doubt it, and you start speaking doubt over it. You negate it, and your subconscious mind only obeys what you put into it.
Well, and that's true.
And it doesn't edit wrong thinking.
Well, I was explaining to my son the other day. I had read an article about visualization, and excuse me, it talked about this young woman who was just coming out of college, and that's where my son is. He's just coming out of college. And the article said that all through college, this young lady had visualized her office, down to the very last book that was on the shelf, even the fact that she wanted a pink computer in her office. Well, she interviewed at this company, she got the job, and guess what? That office was exactly what she visualized, down to the pink computer. The only problem was that she was so busy visualizing her office, she forgot to visualize the environment of the people that she would be working with. And thus, the moral of the story was, because she didn't pay attention to what she was doing, more or less, in her visualizations, she tried to only look at one aspect of her life and one little particle, as opposed to the whole environment that she would be in. It turned out to be the worst job the girl ever had. So that's why when you put a particular face to a relationship, or you put a particular dollar amount on the lottery you want to win, chances are that ain't going to happen. What you need to do is to visualize what kind of relationship you want and visualize that you win the lottery. Now, some people believe...
And creative visualization covers that, as well as The Secret covers that. You know, it's all based on your mind, okay?
Right.
Your soul is your mind first, your will, and your emotions. And those emotions are one thing, okay? But what you think is what you are, and what you think you are is the way you act. You know, this is where, and people say, I don't know what my future, I know what my future is. My future is going to be according to the decisions I make. Your future
right.
is according to the decisions you make. If you decide to be a negative thinker, and then your situation is going to be negative. It's really simple. You know,
see,
really
I kind of take your philosophy and take it a step further and say, with God's grace.
Oh, God's grace will empower you to succeed in every area of your life. There is a grace for everything. You know, we studied, you know, the Ten Commandments. Pastor Moses gave us the Ten Commandments. And what happened? The scripture says that sin was not imputed to anyone until the law was made. The law shows you that you need a Savior. The law shows you that you can't do it again. And the law also makes you very sin conscious. And society, people in society, a lot of percentage of people are sin conscious. They're very sin conscious. This is where we get these debates on different areas of religiosity, you know. But we should, if you're born again, you should not have sin conscience. You know that the grace of God is going to empower you to succeed in every area of your life. Born again Christians should not be sin conscious, but unfortunately they are. You know, it's written in Micah that God made a sea of forgetfulness. And the Bible says he takes our sins as far as from the east is to the west, and he puts them in the sea, and he doesn't remember them anymore. But we keep digging them up. And that's condemnation. That's the spirit of condemnation. And the spirit of condemnation will kill you. It is a very destructive force. And it says that there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, because we are under grace. We're no longer under the law. We're under. So.
Well, I think a lot of times conversations like this, people think that you're trying to convert them to a religion when you start talking. And even though you and your credentials, which are very impressive,
thank you. It was all a process. It was a process to get me where I am today. and who I am today. But no, absolutely, this is a spiritual journey. We're trying to, religion teaches you that it's by you, by your works. It's by your works that you achieve righteousness. But righteousness is given to us by the blood of Jesus, and you can't do anything to earn it. You can't. When you become a person of higher consciousness, then your works that you do, like we're trying to show people how they can achieve their dreams. We're trying to help people to understand their spiritual journey. And if God,
we're trying to further ours and learning more situations.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's the Bible teaches us that no man is an island. So for those who think that they can do it all by themselves, you might have come very far in the world. And you might feel like you've accomplished a lot, but you shouldn't be by yourself. No man is an island.
Mm-mm.
Telling you, you're not by yourself. You're never by yourself.
Well,
everybody has at least one angel with them all the time.
Exactly. The angel's job are to give us messages, to guide us in wisdom, to offer protection. That is actually one of the blessings for, you know, people ask me, well, you know, and I did. I came up through the ritualistic practices of religion, but it's all a process. It still brought me to who I am today. And years ago, I mean, we wouldn't even have a Bible if we didn't have these martyrs that sacrificed their life to get this word to us. So it's all a process. And we're entering an age now where we got to catch up. You know, to live a redeemed life, we cannot be in bondage to harmful addictions, negative attitudes, and emotions that are out of spirit control. You
but
know,
what makes that so hard,
people?
Janet?
Pardon?
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Judging people.
Well,
you know,
everybody does that. I have learned over the last few years, and worked very diligently at it, not to judge any person or any situation.
Mm-hmm.
It is what it is, and you just have to work with what's in front of you. I mean, it's like making dinner. You go in there in the refrigerator, and you've got beans and cornbread. Well, guess what's for dinner?
Beans,
you know,
and cornbread sounds good to me.
Beans and cornbread. You know?
Yeah. You know, God never forces us. He never forces us into right living. Rather, he asks us to join with him into covenant. You know, he was in covenant with Abraham. You know, Abraham made a lot of mistakes, and God was there and pulled him out of every single one of them. But see, there was no law then. There was no Ten Commandments. There was no law, so it wasn't imputed to him as sin. So, and then through Christ, we're out from under the law, you know. But God wants us to be in covenant with him. There's the mystery in the Bible about Christ and his church, that marriage covenant. Marriage is a covenant. Marriage is a sacrament. So our future is determined by the choices we make. And the choices we make are determined between the intellect and the emotions. And that's the one you got to watch. What was the first thing that Adam and Eve became? Emotionally driven people. They realized they became sin conscious. They were naked. They were hiding because they didn't want to come in front of God, whereas before they were totally uninhibited and could walk before God, and see, they became sin conscious and emotionally driven people. And your emotions will get you into trouble. You know,
right along with your mouth if you're not careful.
There are good emotions. I'm talking about negative emotions here.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But
God
the problem
expects us to believe and take charge of our thought life. That's our job. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5 says, taking captive every thought contrary to love. You know, how can you love your neighbor if you're judging them?
Well, and this is true. How can you love how can you love yourself if you're judging other people? Because
how
you're
can you love anything
based
if
on
you don't
you.
Love yourself?
Right.
Yeah.
You know, but the problem with a lot of things, a lot of situations, a lot of relationships, whether they be husband and wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, fiancés, brother, sister, mother, child, you know, whatever the relationship be, the problem with the bigger job, the better job, the nicer home is we live in a microwave society. Everybody wants it now, and they're not, they don't see the repercussion a few years down the road when the trying to keep up with the Joneses and wanting it now doesn't work. It just gets them further and further into this negative thought of, well, I have to have this, and how am I going to do it? You know, I want this man, and or I want this woman, and how do I do it? So we become we've become a world of and especially the United States wanting everything right now. Doesn't matter the cost. You know, we'll go out and shoot somebody. We'll go out and steal it from somebody. We'll go out and cheat somebody. Because we want what we want, and we want it now. And everything here on this earth is something that God put on it, which means it belongs to Him. So everything that I look at, everything that I have is being borrowed from Him. And if I need something, all I have to do is ask Him for it, because He's got all the resources.
Yeah.
You know, he might not give it to me today, but I put it in the inbox. And I've got to believe that it will be provided for me. Because as you were talking earlier, the Lord's Prayer says, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And in heaven, I don't believe that I'm going to have any health issues or
no.
money problems or
no.
worry about the snow coming soon or anything like that, you know?
Yeah, that's true. You know, everything is as it is. And with God, God is unchanging. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the same. And we need to get to that point. And we get to that point, you know, by one, not being sin conscious, and our spirit, by letting our spirit be in control. Before they ate of the fruit, their spirit was in control. After they ate of the fruit, they were emotionally driven, they were inhibited, they were ashamed, they were hiding. They started the blame game. Adam said, blamed Eve. Well, it's the woman you gave me. They even blamed God. Said, you gave her to me, and she did this.
It's your fault.
Yeah.
Yeah. Take responsibility for what you do.
Exactly. The blame game. So,
you know, that's one thing that my brother, I recently lost my mother, and my brothers and I have talked, and we're like, okay, you say I did it, come ask me. I'll tell you. I might not want to admit I did it, but if I did it, you know, I did it.
Yeah. Well, that's where we're to confess our faults, but sometimes it's who can I trust to confess them to? Because as we know in the world system, that sometimes you can just like watch this political arena right now. It's like talk about the blame game. You know, people use your weaknesses against you. But hopefully we can find a group of spiritual people who understand that when we confess our faults to one another, pray fervently to be healed, we'll be healed. So it's a pattern that we're very aware of today, and that's, everybody throwing dirt and digging out people's sins and focusing on that when they should focus on their positives and feed the energy into that.
Well, it's difficult for a lot of people to look at situations and hear confessions of a friend or neighbor or relative. What it should be is it goes in one ear and out the other, rather than to be stored up to use against them at a later date. You know? But that's what happens so often. I'm a big believer in if you tell me something, this is your information. It's not mine to give or to tell unless you tell me it's all right. You know, everybody's so into themselves that they don't understand the word humility. And humility doesn't mean thinking less of yourself. It just means thinking of yourself less.
Yes. Okay, I can see that.
You know, you're not a lesser person.
Well, I mean, we don't do it to other people. We do it to ourselves. We look at ourselves and are critical of our weaknesses. You know, I've gained 10 pounds, or I ate too much, or I did this, or I did that, or I had one too many sauces last night.
one too many adult beverages. Right?
Yeah. And see, God looks at our spirit. He doesn't look at our flesh. You know, we have to realize that He looks at our spirit, and He has placed a lot of things in us that we can connect to when your spirit is redeemed. And it's redeemed, we connect to our spirits by renewing our minds. It's really got a lot to do with the mind.
It really does. The Bible will teach us that, you know, in a lot of cases, we can heal ourselves from anything, whether it be heartache or a physical ailment, because everything is within us. But we have to be humble enough to speak the situation to someone and to pray about it, and who will pray about it with us. But we have to be humble.
Well,
and that's
the purpose of our show here. We want to, well, we're brainstorming right now, and we're showing different things, and but our genuine intention here is to pray for people to help get them to receive healing and connect with their spirit. If they can connect with their spirit, everything they want is right there. It's already done. It is a finished work. Christ finished that work. His last words, it is finished. And that's exactly what it is. It's finished. But we need to access that, and we have to understand, like the Course in Miracles teaches, that we have to get past the illusions of this world. Okay? We're in this world, but we're not of this world. We're in this world. We have to function in this world, survive, pay our rent, pay our house payments, pay our insurance, buy food, all those things. We have to survive. Okay. But all these things could be given to us with little or no effort. All things, Jesus died to give us abundant life. And we access it by, one, believing, okay, believing that we receive. A lot of people are really good at volunteering this thing and that thing, doing this, doing that, but they're not receivers, and they don't know how to receive. You have to be able to receive all the things that God has for you.
Right, but your mental frame.
We get stuck with that intellect and the emotions. There's where it comes.
Right. And that's where we start throwing the monkey wrench.
Where is it? It's not here. Look at my situation. Look at my pain. Look at this. Look at that. Well, where's all that energy going? It's focused on the pain instead of the solution.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's what we need to learn. Not to focus on the pains of life, but the solutions to things. And renewing your mind.
Don't be afraid to cook a meal. Leave the microwave alone.
Oh, I can,
you know what I mean?
We live in a fast-paced society, and people are, you're right, I mean, it's a microwave society. It's like we want instant. Where, you know, healing, people think healing should be an instantaneous thing that comes from God. And it is sometimes, you know, these TV evangelists where all these thousands of people come and they're all praying, and those those miracles are instant because there are many, many unbelievers. People go there, they're searching. I mean, man knows that there's something missing. An abundant life, there's nothing missing. It's, you know, sufficient in quantity, superior in quality, nothing missing, nothing broken. It's completeness. And that's what this show's intended to do, is to help us on that journey, help us achieve our dreams. And the main thing is, don't oppose yourself. If you pray for something, it says while you're standing, if you can believe it, but you have to also forgive. You can't harbor bitterness. I mean, we've all gone through pains in life. We've all been let down by other people, intimate mates, you know, have abandoned, you know, that person we trusted in, and then they proved to be a player or scoundrel of some kind. You have to forgive all that. You can't harbor that in your heart, because unforgiveness will block your blessing. See, again, it's all part of the mind, what's in your heart, what you're speaking over yourself, what you're thinking over yourself. So if you can forgive and believe that you can receive, you can have it. It'll be there.
Yeah, that's true. But you have to give it time. You have to give the universe time. You have to give God time to get everything in order so that what you've asked for comes out to your best interest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes that initial failure is a success that is right around the corner. And a lot of people say, okay, well, I tried it, it didn't work, I failed, I'm not going to try it again. Well, you know, if it's something you're passionate about, that's kind of shooting yourself in the foot. That's the negativity that we're talking about tonight.
Yes. Well, God explains it. God was the first farmer. He planted a garden, put man in the midst of the garden. Okay, so back then, you know, that was pretty much the trade. So the symbology of planting seed. Well, if you plant a garden, for instance, of tomatoes, you don't run out there and dig it up to see if it's growing. You got to
or go out and pull on it to make it grow quicker.
you
know.
Can, but you, I don't know what
you're going to pull it out by the roots.
Exactly. Yeah. So you have to give it the time to manifest, and that's where people get stuck. You know.
That's because we look at the microwave society. We're in that fast pace.
Instant results.
Right. And that's, I mean, you have to look at all this stuff kind of as you find a dream or desire you want. Okay, look at that as an illness. Okay, now you decide, you visualized what you believe will take care of this desire of yours. Okay, that's great. That's going to the doctor. Okay, now there's the treatment. Okay? I mean, I kind of equate it that way. Sometimes that illness will be over quick. Sometimes it might be the sniffles, you're getting the flu, you know, you're going to have to wait it out. Sometimes what you ask God for comes right away. But sometimes, what if it's something more serious, like a cancer? It can be cured in some cases.
Right,
it can prolong your life. But you've got to put effort into it. You've got to put work into it.
I have physically witnessed people who were scheduled to have surgery. You know how the doctors will sometimes order an X-ray or an ultrasound or something to look to see if anything's changed before they go in there, and it's been gone. And their mouths are hanging open, and it's miraculous. But, I spent several years working in an emergency room, and I saw a lot of miracles. But miracles are for the unbelievers. Like I said, those instantaneous healings. Healing is a process, and sometimes you're removing layers and layers and layers of years of abuse, or that it could be physical abuse, you know, bad negative habits and that are not good for you, overdoing. All things are good in moderation. But, you know, if you overdo, then you have a problem.
Well, Janet, I think I'm going to put our call number in, out on the air if anybody has anything they'd like to say or any questions for us.
Okay.
The call-in number is 646-378-1297.
Now, it just shows you as the caller on the switchboard, unless I'm not doing this right. And if people are calling in and I'm not doing this correctly, you know,
we're not seeing you on the board.
We're not seeing
you. To tell us
you're
there.
Yeah, that's why they put erasers on pencils. People make mistakes.
So we're not intentionally ignoring anyone. So,
nope.
We just don't see you on there. But we are now about halfway through the show, a little more than halfway through the show.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been very interesting conversation, enlightening information.
And we would certainly like some input, but I don't see anybody coming in on us. So, again, we'll put that number out. The call-in number is 646-378-1247.
1297.
1297, sorry. and if it's free, if you have free long distance, or it's free if you're using Skype. Also, you can log into the chat room. I don't see anybody there either. Unless we're not doing this right, we'll have to go back to the tutorial. Okay, what about if I click this help thing? It says email us for help or chat offline. Well, we can't do that while we're on the show. So
you're talking with Janet?
No,
Warburg.
It is 1297. You're absolutely correct. Call in number is 646-378-1297.
So today's show is on dreams versus reality, and I'm Marcia, and Janet's on the other end, aren't you?
Yes, I'm here.
You're here with me, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm here. So tonight, are you going to do anything special with the blue moon?
I have been working today, during the day, preparing my candles. I like to use oils and crystals and sometimes tarot cards, depending on the requests that I have had from people looking for something in particular or a particular situation within my own family or my friends. But tonight, since it's really about relationships, and particularly romantic and passionate relationships, I think that for our audience, I will do something to help enhance their romantic passions, whether they're looking for someone or they have someone. I will make sure that when I do my work this evening that I include all of our listeners from tonight mm-hmm. in that, and I hope that they will have something wonderful happen to them in that respect.
And I also will join with my energy tonight, and especially with all the people that are close to me, my clients on Keen and my church parishioners and friends and people that I read for. We're going to do special service for you to receive some sort of blessing, and hopefully we didn't miss you tonight, but it looks like we did. Looks like we did. I can't have no one on. We had trouble logging in, both of us. So, because of that, we will do a special service tonight, especially since it's in the romantic area, the blue moon, full moon, and Pisces. But that's also intuition. You know, Pisces are very intuitive people. And so we'll ask God to touch everybody's intuition to be guided for the right set for themselves. And if they're in something that isn't good for them, it'll be shown to them. Or if they're in something that is difficult, it'll be shown to them the way out, the way to, you know, master it. How's that, Marcia?
That sounds pretty good.
Okay. Well, what do you think? Shall we go on or shall we conclude? I can't.
Well,
there's no one in line or anything.
Let's give it a few more minutes to see if our switchboard
okay.
comes alive, and we'll break it an hour if we don't have anyone come on at that time. So with what you do, Janet, do you spend a lot of time prayer and meditating and doing affirmations for yourself to give you strength to do the work that you do?
Yes. As you know, it's written that people, even if you read the Bible from just the perspective of what these people went through, we all come under attack. People who actually do the type of work come under attack. And that could be, you know, illness doesn't come from God. Disease, illness, none of that comes from God. God, if we stay rooted and grounded in love, and it's not always easy because there are things that happen that there's such thing as justifiable anger. You know, you see an atrocity done to little children. That's one of my pet peeves. You know,
mine too.
Yeah, it's just, you know, I have to calm myself down and approach God and pray for things like that. But sometimes it's hard, you know. Being a fire sign, we're both fire signs, it's really hard. We have, just by the mere fact that we're fire, we have to contend with our tempers.
Yeah, I've been known to open mouth and insert foot quite often.
Yeah, me too, to the second joint.
Well, you do better than me because I managed to make it to my hip before I shut up.
But basically, every single day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, the church prays for everybody, their petitions, and we're willing to take prayer requests, and you can catch me, like I said, on Keen. I'm also on Facebook. You can email me, and I'll be more than happy to pray for anything. But as a rule, we pray twice a day, and then I do my personal prayers in the middle, you know. Yeah, I pray three times a day. But we have to, you know, we have to realize where we're at now. There's a lot of anger, and there always seems that there are some people who are always seem very angry, and they continuously look for conflict. And we have to be careful with those people because they're fighting battles within themselves, and it seems like it's directed at you. And I've had a difficult time with that at times. And it's a matter of taking negative thoughts captive, replacing them, and speaking good things over yourself. And, you know, that's what that's what you got to learn to do. You have to observe yourself. You have to think what you're thinking, you know, what you're doing. Keep track of yourself. And it's easy. I mean, you can see something on TV. You know?
Right. Have we given much thought to our topic for our next show?
Well, since we've cut everybody else out, we might do a continuation on this one.
Okay.
So, and we can do some more, actually talk about some practices to do, how to take thoughts captive, how to renew your mind, and maybe, because there's a lot when it comes to dreams. And people give up on their dreams, you know. You go to the doctor gives you a bad report, and people just give up. But I have seen, and I have seen it in my many years as being a minister, I have seen people with bad reports, and I've seen God turn it around. But he's not going to force himself on you. It's free will. It's done unto us by the way we think.
Well, I mean, I can attest so many times to the reality that God has shown me.
Yes.
And I can attest many times to someone close to me, as I stated earlier, my mother just passed recently.
Mm.
And she was a 40-year cancer survivor when she passed. The hospital that we took her to was the hospital who had treated her for her cancer years ago. And even they, because of the rarity of that disease, thought that she would never have been around. They were amazed that she was still around. But that's what God can do. Her prayers were always to, when she was originally diagnosed, I'm one of five children, and we were all very young. And it was in the 70s. And back then, cancer was a major death sentence. So when we took her back and she was still kicking, they were really just surprised. So she had asked God to see her children grow up and see her grandchildren. And before she left, her dream was, before she left this world, you know, her dream was to see her children, her grandchildren, see her children grow up and have some grandchildren. Well, God gave that to her. He gave her children growing up. He gave her her grandchildren growing up, and he even gave her some great-grandchildren.
Oh, isn't that wonderful?
Yeah, so, I mean, it's because of her faith was so strong, knowing that God would take care of what she asked and believed, and she worked toward that every day, not looking at it as this is a death sentence. So we can't look at things as this is the end of the world. If
no.
we didn't get our dream exactly as we have to look at it as this is what God intends us to have right now because this is what we need.
That's right. You know, there's benefits, too. I mean, there is benefits in connecting to your spirit. Everything is in your spirit. Okay, and by connecting to your spirit, you will prove to your flesh your sanctification. You'll prove to your flesh that all this works. And you know, we have to, and it's our job. God has already done everything. He gave us the gift of his son, Jesus. Jesus died on a cross. He took on the wrath of God from the Old Testament. He took on all the sins of the world. And I used to think, why does this have to be so, you know, you're watching The Passion, this is so violent. Why does this have to be so violent? Well, he took it all. He even took the wrath of God upon himself. And it's finished. We just need to access it. And accessing and putting your spirit in charge will give you abundant life. It'll give you everything. It'll give you the money you need, the health you need, everything you need. And so I think our next show will just do some of the procedures that we, like how to take thoughts captive, how to manifest your dreams, how to do creative visualization, and maybe
throw out a few
meditation.
Really good affirmations for
good affirmations
to practice with.
Yeah.
Put together a little candle ritual for people to use to help them
meditate,
release the negativity and meditate.
Mm-hmm.
And that way we can have some treats for our next show, which should be about a month.
About a month from now?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll go in and
I might
schedule.
Be able to talk a little bit better by then.
Right, I'll go in and schedule tomorrow, and then I'll also take the tutorial on the switchboard and see what we did. But we both had difficulty logging in tonight, and so I apologize for anybody that couldn't get to us, but hopefully we will improve on these procedures by the next radio show. God bless you all. We'll be praying for you, and thank you. And Marcia, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you for having me, Janet.
Okay.
Good night, everybody. God bless.
God bless. Bye.